Let's pray again. God, you're good, and we praise you, and we thank you. Thank you that you're here. I thank you that you sent your Son to reconcile us, to bring us back. I thank you that you've poured out your Holy Spirit and that you're present and that we can know you and we can experience you and we can hear you. So God, my prayer is that whatever else I have to say, that people, we would all together be listening to what you're saying. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, my objective this morning is, I sort of have two objectives. I want to talk a little bit about, as a church, kind of where we've been and where we're at now. And then I want to kind of let you know where we're going, especially this year in terms of our preaching and what we'll be looking at and why. I often think about how God's salvation for us in Scripture is described in three tenses. It talks about the way we have been saved by Christ, the way we are being saved in the present moment, we're working out our salvation in fear and trembling, and about how we will be saved. We haven't seen the completion of it yet. The world is still broken and suffering, and we're still broken and suffering, but there will be a day when Christ returns and we will enter into that new heavens and that new earth where there'll be no more tears, no more weeping. So another way to put that might be that God is the God of the past, the present, and the future. God's salvation is over all things, redeeming everything at all points. So the first question that I want to ask this morning is, where have we been? I think it goes without saying that 2020 was a tough year for many people. We had the disruption and the struggle of lockdown, and that COVID cloud still kind of looms over us and threatens every so often. And it's created a tension, it's created an anxiety and a worry. We had a lot of national and international political kind of turmoil last year. We saw, we had our own election, and we saw what was happening in the United States. Especially the kind of racial conflict and the struggle over American identity influences us. It influences our consciousness. And in the mix of all that political stuff, we've got confusing voices from Christians where you have kind of conspiracy theories on the one end and I don't know what else on the other. But it's confusing and it can be difficult and it can destabilize a little bit of our confidence when we see people saying and doing things who claim to represent the Christian faith, but who we really struggle with. Whatever your opinion on politics, we in New Zealand, we're being made aware of the changing landscape of New Zealand. In particular, thinking about some of the legislation that was passed last year. I'm not proclaiming anything about that right now, but it's a change away from traditional thought, and that can be unsettling. I know for a lot of people personally, it was a tough year because of pain, and suffering and ongoing sickness because of circumstances, relationship struggles. Perhaps that's always the case, and maybe 2020 wasn't that different compared to every other year, but I just feel and I know, and maybe this is what part of what Cindy is getting at, is that there was a heaviness about people's feeling last year. Maybe you went through something or you witnessed something last year that you wish you hadn't had to experience. And then for us here at Hillcrest, I'm just going to have to hydrate. It's important. Towards the end of last year, as he mentioned a few times, our dear and glorious leader, Kevin, handed in his resignation. And that's brought about a lot of grief. I mean that in the sense of grief and loss, you know. It's a loss for us. It's a hard thing to deal with because we love Kevin and Cheryl. And it's not easy to accept always when things change. And we're going to have a moment next weekend, actually after the service, we're going to honour them and we're going to have lunch together. He casually didn't mention it in the notices today. But we're going to honour them next weekend. But you know, it's okay to feel tears and feel grief about that. I have, and I know. And I know Kevin has. But at the very least, it means change for us, doesn't it? It means things aren't going to be the same. Changing kind of landscape puts you again into a feeling of uncertainty. You're not sure quite where you are or where you're going. There can be grief and there might be excitement. There might be nervousness. I've felt a mixture of all sorts of different things. And that's okay too. You'll have your own set of feelings. I don't want to import mine onto you. But what it means is that as a church, we're standing at this time in interesting days. And that makes me think a lot. Things are changing around us and within us. And I think it's important when we face those sorts of times, as Cindy said, to have a clear focus, to have a clear vision. And the good news is, we don't have to go searching for it. We exist as a church because we've been established as the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the eternal Word of the Father who was with God from before the beginning, and He's unchanged. And so we can have a clear vision and a firm foundation if we fix our eyes upon the person of Jesus Christ. That's our hope. That's our hope in eternity, but it's also our hope this year and in the coming days and weeks and months. Jesus is our hope. But I do think we can ask him the question, where is he taking us as a people? And so the next question I want to ask, if you want to bring up the next slide, where are we going? And to understand that, we're going to do some casting our minds backwards. We're going to ask, what's God been saying about Hillcrest Baptist? I love this question, what's God been saying? Some of our young adults got sick of me asking them that last year. I kept saying it to them and they got frustrated, but that's all right. Over the last couple of years, few years, I've paid close attention to what I'm going to call the prophetic history of the church, the unfolding prophetic history of things that God has been saying to us and in us as a people. I've literally kept notes and I've been praying about it. So I want to go back to the middle of 2017. So it feels like a long time ago now. But Kevin preached a sermon. He went on sabbatical and then he came back and he preached a sermon. And the theme, does anyone remember what it was about? Restoration. Regeneration was the theme. And he talked to us about regeneration being God's desire for us as a people. And he unpacked that in several ways. I think the sermons are still online. You could go and listen to some of it if you want to. But he talked about in this regeneration process for us as a people that we were going to need to be planted down by the water. We're going to need to have a water source. And he talked about that in terms of our intimacy, our communion, our worship of God, about being close to God. He talked about how in a healthy forest, sometimes things have to die so that new things can come up. Older things, older trees have to make room for younger trees to come up and grow. And I think that series set in motion a kind of a thematic hope and promise for us about growth. Towards the end of the same year, we heard some stirrings about a coming time of revival. I am coming to shake Hillcrest Baptist. And I think that we've been shook more than once in the time since then. In 2019, we heard a couple of different words about opening our doors and not being offended by those who come in. We were given the image of a great forest, which if you were here last week, Savannah referenced. We were given the image of a great forest that provides shelter for those who come. That beneath our canopy and within our care, we're going to provide shelter for the broken, the outcast, for people who need it, for people who need healing and support and love. Later in 2019, Kevin brought this word. He said that God was coming in a fire and in a flood. And again, we have this hope, this stirring desire that God is doing a new thing among us. As I've listened over the last few months to people, I've heard a hunger and an expectation. And the word that keeps coming up from unrelated people is growth. Savannah's message last week very much spoke of that, that we're coming into a time of growth. Now, there's a lot more I could say about all that, and you'll know I could if I chose to keep going. But I just want to highlight a few things as we come into 2021. The first is that if we take what God's been saying to us seriously, we can have a sense of preparedness. God has been speaking to us and preparing us. And I know, because I'm in the privileged position of sitting with people one-on-one and hearing their stories, I know that there have been a lot of prayers going on individually for others and for the church as a whole. So I think there's some good news here that as a church, we're heading to where God wants us to be, and He's preparing the way for us. Our God goes before us. The second thing is this theme of growth and learning. Cindy and I did not collaborate on this. But change is difficult. Growth hurts. Lifting weights to build muscle is tearing the muscle fibers so that they can grow bigger. But I believe that if we adopt a certain perspective in our life with God, we can see that growth happens during times of change. Difficulty and challenge, even things that seem like a waste, do not have to be fruitless pain, but growing pains. And spiritual growth happens mostly not when life is going great, but when we face the trials and tribulations of life and when we endure them in faith. Growth happens, as a friend pointed out to me a couple of months ago, when we get out of our comfort zone, when we take risks and when we let ourselves be vulnerable to that change. So this season of change for us as a church, whatever it looks like in practice, I believe is a great opportunity if we will engage it with faith, if we will engage it by, as Cindy said, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. It is a great opportunity for us to grow into the people that He wants us to be. And the third thing I wanted to say is that this prophetic history of looking at what God's been saying gives us a picture of who we're meant to be. Not in terms of what programs we put in place or the things we do when we get together, but about becoming who God made us to be, serving in the way He's prepared for us to serve. And most exciting for me, I think, is that we might begin to have an atmosphere and a culture within us where the people who come know that God lives here and they can encounter His love through us without our even really trying, but because it's who we are, it's who God's made us to be. So past, present, and future. God has been at work. God is still at work. And He's not done yet. Reminds me of where Paul wrote of our salvation in Philippians 1. I am confident of this. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. That talks, of course, about our salvation, about our eternal hope, about our perfect union with Him. But I think we can hold it for ourselves now that whatever God has begun here at Hillcrest Baptist, though many things change, he will bring us to completion. My last question is, how do we get there? For me, the growing answer has also been from Philippians 1. And from the passage where we get this, the title of the song that we just sung. So I want to read to you Philippians 1, 18 to 21. The Apostle Paul is in prison, and let's think about his perspective on life and faith as a man who is in prison. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. See, so often we go through times of peace. Maybe we travel along nicely. Maybe we're experiencing a little bit of growth, and then something derails us. And I just feel for myself like that's what 2020, whatever it was, threatened to do a little bit. It threatened to destabilize our confidence. It threatened to cause us to question our faith maybe in ways that we haven't before. Now, I'm not knocking questions. If you've got questions, praise the Lord. Ask them. Ask him. Talk to someone about them. Don't hide them. Don't deny them. But I want to suggest to you that we don't need to be derailed in our faith by the trials and the tribulations of life. Here's the Apostle Paul writing from prison saying, you know what? This is great. This is going to work out well. I know it is, you know, because they might kill me. But if that happens, Christ will be magnified. And if I live, and if I die, I'm going to go and be with Christ. That's awesome. I'm going to be with Christ. But if I don't die, that means fruitful labor for me. That means I've got a job to do. That means I've got something to wake up for every day. And it's exactly the same thing. Christ be magnified. So this is what I think is going to get us from A to B. It's going to take us from where we are and where we've been into the future that God has for us, whatever that looks like in practice. I think it's going to be if we as a people, as individuals and as a people, have a resolution of faith to say, you know what? Whatever happens, I have a reason to be. I can wake up every day and glorify Jesus Christ because he's been glorified by God already. The song we sung puts this kind of resolution this way. It says, I won't bow to idols. I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice because you're there too. I won't be formed by feelings. I'll hold fast to what is true. And if the cross brings transformation, then I'll be crucified with you. Because death is just a doorway into resurrection life. And if I join you in your suffering, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing, my song will be the same. Christ be magnified. I want this to be our anthem in this time of change. That whatever happens, whatever things look like, whatever discomforts we feel, that we would set ourselves up to glorify Jesus with our lives, whether life or death or suffering or joy. We can magnify the name of Jesus. And he's worthy to be praised because, you know, he didn't live his life, as is what Savannah said near the beginning. He didn't live his life floating on a cloud free of the struggles of the world. He came into the world to become a human person, to carry our suffering, to carry the burden that we could not carry ourselves, and to suffer on our behalf. And it's in Philippians 2 that Paul lines out his gospel, lines out his reason for having such great hope. He says that Jesus Christ, though he was equal with God, did not count that equality as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself and he took the form of a slave. He submitted himself to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, and God raised him to new life, and therefore God has raised him and seated him at the right hand of the Father and has bestowed upon him the name that is above all names, so that one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That's who we are. That's who we are. That's how we can fix our vision, is on the risen and ascended, glorious, majestic Jesus Christ, who is the crucified one. Now, I promise you I'd share what this means for our preaching this year. And our theme is going to follow exactly what I've said, that Christ would be magnified. So for the next several weeks, we're going to, leading up till just after Easter, we're going to be preaching the gospel. We're going to, we're going to preach the good news. And this is a message that we don't need to be tired of hearing. It's something that we're going to keep celebrating. And my earnest hope is that it will energize those of us who already believe it, and perhaps revive a little bit of our sense of joy and wonder at what God has done for us. I hope that it's not just a matter of intellectual knowledge. I hope that for each of us, something new would sink in about the goodness of God for us and about the great message that we have in Jesus Christ. I hope that that energizes our worship, so that when we come together to sing and to share and to take communion, whatever our form of worship is, I hope that we can, like Kevin brought out, do all to the glory of God, you know. I'm hoping this will also encourage and challenge and inspire you to let that go out from your own experience and into the world. Because we carry such great news. And we all have people in our lives, and we all encounter people every day who need to hear the good news. Yesterday evening I was cooking dinner at home, and someone knocked on the door, and I opened it and I looked and I instantly saw that there was some tracts in their hand, right? And I didn't know what kind of tracts they were, but I was this is uncharacteristic. Normally at 5 o'clock cooking dinner, I'm grumpy, right? So something uncharacteristically joyful rose up in me at this moment. And they said, oh, hey, we're just here to talk about, and they said something about Jesus. And I said, oh, awesome. Do you know Jesus? And they go, what? I was like, yeah, man, I know Jesus. What's your favorite thing about Jesus? That's what I said to them. And he goes, oh, salvation and the power to heal. And I was like, oh, cool, man. Can I tell you what my favorite thing about Jesus is? And I just got stuck into them. I said, hey, the coolest thing is, you know, Jesus Christ is the gift that God gave to us of love and salvation that we couldn't have earned. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything to make him come down. God just sent him because he loves us. How awesome is that? And they were like, okay. And we had a bit of a chat, turned out they were Seventh-day Adventists and da-da-da-da-da-da. Like I said, that's not characteristic of me. Maybe God only gave me that little story so I could share it with you now because it's fun. But maybe that's where we can get to as believers, where we don't have the burden of, oh, I better share the gospel. But, hey, I've got good news, Howard. Jesus is alive, bro, isn't he? Yeah. That's my hope with our gospel series. That'll empower us and inspire us to share the good news. Amen. And we've got Alpha coming up. I hope that we can find some people to put into this Alpha course to learn about God. And maybe this can be a way to do that. Well, for our preaching year, we'll have some random things here and there. We've got a couple of, one guest speaker, the national leader of the Baptist Union, Charles Hewlett, is coming down on the 7th of March, so that'll be exciting. He's a really, he's a great man, but a good speaker, and so be it.